Let's turn now in God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we will be reading verses 1 through 21. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 21. And let us, beginning in verse 1, hear God's Word. Let's give our attention to Him, for His words are holy. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere, in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will to come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, or in the spirit of meekness? And those are God's words. Now, as has been mentioned before, the church in Corinth was continuously challenging Paul's apostleship. And through verse 6, Paul defends himself, and then through verse 13, cautions them against their pride and how we might say today, how well off or blessed they are. This has grown in them pride, as it may have us too. We have maybe have grown in pride because of how well off all of us are, even though we might not think some of us are very well off. They have, in Corinth, grown to despise the apostles and ministers, and therefore it is similar temptation to us in our pride because of how blessed we are in Christ and by the Lord, that we might despise the Word of God as well, and the word that comes to us through ministers. Through verse 16, he calls them to see him, that is Paul, to see him and regard him as their father in the faith. He's adopted them or begotten them in the gospel, through the gospel, through his preaching. And so he's called them to believe on Christ. And so he's in that way, he's adopted them and brought them in and as a sort of father to them in the faith. And so he calls them to regard him as a father. And then through the rest of the chapter, he encourages them with the sending of Timothy. And he also would be longing, he says here, he's longing to come unto them if the Lord so willed, even though they don't think he will come. It was his desire to come, and when he did, Lord willing, that he would be able to be received by them in love. That's what he desires of them, that he'd be received by them in love. And we ought to remember that as others, other Christians come and worship with us, so we would receive them in love. Beloved, we ought to, again, as we are instructed here, just some things. We ought to humble ourselves before the Lord, humble ourselves to receive His Word, and humble ourselves to be receptive of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's a big part of this chapter. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, how blessed you have, how many blessings you have brought upon our lives, each one of us. We're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your graces, the many graces that you've brought and given us, even with one another in the bride of Christ in the church. And you've blessed us with one another and their each other's gifts, graces, each in differing measure, as we learn in Romans, as we have learned in Romans. And how blessed, therefore, we are in the church that we not only have one another, but we have as our head Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, our husband, who died for us, who sacrificed himself for us, who even now speaks to us through the word and seeks to sanctify his bride, us, with it. We plead that we would be sanctified by it, that we would humble ourselves, that we would be humbled by your grace and by your Spirit, to receive, be receptive to your word and the good news of Jesus Christ. Our Father, today we plead for the church, as we're about to hear in Joel and beginning that short prophet. Father, in the church there are many sins, lackings, of which we ought to be judged. All of us ought to be judged for, and yet you have shown mercy, but judgment is coming. And so we plead that you would make us to be a repentant people, that you would send your Holy Spirit in power, change hearts, humble hearts, even the prideful hearts of your own people, your covenant people. And just as we consider of Judah, your people who were faithful at times and yet often sinful and rebellious, and then eventually led into exile in Babylon. Father, we do not wish to be exiled ourselves or cut off from your word or the church, in which then we might sing with the psalmist in Psalm 100, I believe 37, in which they're grieving how there's no way they could sing of your psalms in Babylon and before a foreign people who are mocking them. May it not be so with us before the world, as they mock us and call us to sing your praises just to mock us and hate upon us and persecute us. Father, we ask that we would rather be upheld and turned back to you from the church's many sins, to make us faithful instead of unfaithful. And Father, we pray also for this congregation this evening. We pray And ask for your blessing upon those who are not here. We already considered them in some ways in Psalm 92. And how saddened and grieved we are when the saints forsake your worship. And Father, may it not be. Send your Spirit and fill the churches, that the saints would want to worship you every day, as has happened in the history of your church at times, when they can't get enough of your word. Instead, today we get enough, we think we get enough, and we kind of stay away and think other things are more important. Father, forgive us of our unfaithfulness in that. And Father, we ask also, Father, we ask that you would heal Dina. We know that she's experiencing great pains today in her back and hardly able to stand and move around well. And so give healing to her today and this week, if that be your will. And Father, may you also be with our children. We know as they hear the gospel, sometimes, hopefully daily, but at least every Lord's Day, Father, we ask that you would turn their hearts to you and that you would grant them the Holy Spirit. We pray that as families we would be more faithful in family worship ourselves and teaching and reading and expounding upon your word and applying it to our lives. Especially give this desire to husbands and fathers to lead families well in this congregation, that we would be in the Word daily and not once or twice a week. We ask for your help as well for Pastor Drost and Pastor Rice in Washington, Iowa and Colorado Springs. We ask that you would heal them, strengthen them, that they'd be able to minister again the Word. Father, we ask also that you would be praised, but also we keep pleading for Mrs. Watson, that you would heal her and strengthen her body. We're thankful for all that you have done, and we give you thanks, for it is alone you have done, who have done it. It's not man, not doctors, it's not medicine, but it's you, and we're thankful for this. And ask that you would continue healing, if that be your will. And give her many days with her family, if that also be your will. But Father, we trust your plan. Moreover, Father, we pray for our presbytery. We ask for your help for the congregations without ministers that we often pray for. Now in Colorado Springs and Houston and San Antonio, we pray that you would provide ministers there in those places. We're thankful as we look back in the other churches that we've prayed for. You have answered our prayers. You've provided ministers in Manhattan and Clarinda a few years ago, and Laramie and Oklahoma City and other places, Father. We give you Westminster and Colorado. Father, we're thankful for all these that you've answered. And we keep praying. Keep lifting up our requests to you, knowing that you're the God who answers according to your will. And you answer according as you desire to do us good, for all things that work together for our good. And so we give you praise for this, that you're the God who hears and answers our prayers. That even when we've prayed for the healing of people, the vast majority of the time you've answered that by healing them in this life. And at some point you'll heal perfectly when our bodies enter in to the grave and our souls are lifted up to you in glory. And our bodies then will be given new glorified bodies and be healed completely, where there's no more tears or pains or sorrows. And so grant us that, and grant us the answers to our prayers according to your will alone. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.